If we could, four volunteers to send Mrs. Johnson a card this week. Just one, two, three. Can you guys work together and send one card? All right, sounds good. Four. So, you know who I pointed to. I've already forgotten. I know the males. Cindy Johnson, just a, hey, thinking about you, praying for you, love you. You don't have to tell her your whole life story. Mrs. Rice, where'd Brother Rice go? He left. What'd you do with him, Ellie? All right. So we need to get Mrs. Rice's address. I think she was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. Like, I think that's where she's at. Just found out. So let's just send her a card. I can't do anything about cancer, but I can certainly let her know we're praying for her. So four people, doesn't have to be ladies, four people that want to send Jerry and Sharon Rice a card. All right, Mrs. Rice, Mrs. Hodges, Ms. Jabisky, Mrs. Wilson, Mrs. Faulkner, you can too. All right. You just got to get to Brother Rice and get their address. I would think it might be easier to get to Kelly and get their address. That's just me. All right. But however that works out. All right. So let's just send them a card. Let them know we're praying for them, love them, anything we can do to help them. Knowing that there's some people praying for them, I think it would be an encouragement. Matthew chapter 5 tonight. Let's look at verse 6. Matthew chapter 5. I love the Sermon on the Mount. Why? Because it's backwards. It's not what we do. It's like the Lord. What is the Sermon on the Mount? The Sermon on the Mount is God, Christ taking his disciples, pulling them off to the side and said, here, real quick, let me explain some things to you. Let me set you straight on some things. In verse 6 it says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. And it says, for they shall be filled. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word, how it fills us. God, I thank you how it meets our needs. And Lord, how it delivers exactly what we need. Lord, I pray that we would be more sensitive to it, that we would give more attention to it. And God, as we study this out tonight, Lord, I pray that this sermon would be a help and a blessing. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Here we read something about the Word of God. It says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. This week was one of our fasting days in it. I believe it was Monday, the 10th. So maybe you can identify with the hunger and thirst, right? You woke up that day hungry. You don't normally eat breakfast, but for some reason, that's just where you're at, right? But it says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. See, the Word of God is paralleled to or identified as our spiritual food. And it says here, it's a good thing for you to desire the Word of God. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst, not just for food, but after righteousness. And God says this, hey, when you're like that, I'm going to meet that need. If you desire that which is right and true, I think of Brother Rodell, he's praying for wisdom about finances, a house, and direction for his family and their life. You know what God says? Hey, as you desire that from me, I would like to give you leadership in righteousness. I know you feel maybe empty of that tonight. Maybe you feel hollow in that area. But God says, hey, that's a good thing to be empty there because I'd like to fill it. The Word of God, we ought to have a hunger for the righteousness. It ought not to be okay in our life that we go days, maybe weeks, maybe even months, having never cracked open the Bible in our personal time. There ought to be a hunger in our soul for the Word of God. Imagine missing a meal. Imagine missing two meals. Imagine missing a week long of meals. Hey, you would notice physically that. But do we have the same hunger after or for righteousness? Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, promise of God. 1 Peter chapter 2, we're going to go quick. I know they have music night, but we're kind of backed up against the clock a little bit. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, it says, "As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word." What's the benefit of the milk of the word of God? What does it say? "That ye may grow thereby." Again, the simple truths of the Word of God. I was talking to a young man this morning, and he was asking me just some advice about just what to teach. He's not here, so you don't know. But I said, "Well, here's what I would do if I was stepping into a ministry kind of unknown to all of it. I would just start with the fundamental truths of the Word of God. What does it mean to be saved? What does it mean to be eternally secure? What does the Bible say about itself? What does the Bible say about prayer? What does the Bible say about baptism? What does the Bible say about sanctification?" Hey, let's take the milk of the Word of God, and what does that help? It helps people grow, it says. How many times people are out of town or whatever? Maybe, you know, Keith, so love having Keith and Leah back in town for a week. I know they got, and man, I can't believe how big Sam and Joe got. What's going on? Well, we feed them. We feed them, and we keep feeding them, and they keep growing. I was spending time with my dad and my boys, and we were just... We went out of town for my birthday. I got 4 tickets to the Indians game. And that Indians game was last night. So we went to Cleveland yesterday. And man, we just had a great, great, just great time. But those boys are constantly hungry. And at home, you don't recognize it as much as when you're at the ballpark. And you go there and you buy something and it's like, wow. I'm not even kidding. $4.75 for a bottle of water. It's like, man, those are... Do you know those are 10 cents? Yeah, we know. That's why we're selling them for $4.75. But they eat. Why do we eat? Because that's how we grow. Hey, the Word of God. Why absorb those truths? What's the benefit? The Word of God equals growth. You can't have growth without the Word of God. Hey, the most important thing when a person gets saved, what is it? Get into the Bible. You got to get in the Bible. If you're not reading and studying the Bible and coming to it openly and saying, "God, what is it that you want to reflect in my life?" You're not going to grow because you're not getting fed. How could a person be saved for 10, 20, 30 years and never be any closer to Christ than when they got saved? Because they're not growing. Because they're not getting fed. Help us never to have that. Here, we read, what? As newborn babes. The very first thing, what do they need? Oh, they need tithe envelopes. No, they need to change their appearance. No, what they need is the milk of the Word of God. Because that's what helps them grow. Yeah. Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. The milk of the Word of God. How about the meat of the Word of God? In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12, for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. There's the milk, and are become as such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. See, the first principles of the oracles of God are what? That's those fundamental faith. But he's like, there's more to that. There's meat, strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe, right? Certainly, if we went into the nursery and we took one of the little kids out, are they precious? Sure. Are they important? Yes. But they're not teaching Sunday school classes. Why? Because they're barely handling just living. They are very dependent. That's a new person in Christ. They're incredibly dependent. I think that's why people are somewhat hesitant to get into discipling anybody. Why? Because they're dependent. But you can't get to the meat until you have the milk. What does it say? For everyone that useth milk is unskillful. Not that they're bad. They're just new. It's been a blessing. Some people have been asking, hey, can we use your boys to do this project or that project? Sure. They've grown up a bit. But look at verse 14. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. As we continue to grow, then we get to the point where I know what's the difference between right and wrong. I'm now able to make decisions. I don't have to call the pastor every 2 minutes. I don't have to run to the Word of God. Those principles are now ingrained in me. Do we use the Word of God? Yes, but it has become part of us. And now we step even further. But strong meat. What is the meat of the Word of God? Here, you ready for this? Change. When God wants you to put something off in your life and to add something, that's the meat of the Word of God. That's the application of the Word of God. That's not just a lesson on salvation or, wow, the Bible's important. All of those lessons are important. But when it starts becoming applicable, where the line starts getting drawn in the sand and, hey, have I decided to follow Jesus? No turning back. That's the meat. Am I going to exercise between good and evil? In John chapter 6 and verse 51, it tells us that the Word of God, it's like living bread, and it gives us eternal life. Most times in the Scriptures, I hate to even say it, most times in the Scriptures, if you search the word pastor, it's not usually a good connotation. They're usually, if you read in Jeremiah, it's not usually good. Say, why don't you read those verses? Well, I don't want to bring it to light. But if you look at Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 15, this is a great verse. Say, is this a nice verse about pastors? It is. Jeremiah 3:15 says, "And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." Hey, what's the role of the pastor? To deliver the Word of God. What's the purpose of that? It's not a social club. It's to get understanding. Knowledge, there's the milk. Understanding, there's the meat. How important is the Word of God to us? It is vital for us to grow. All that being said, turn over to Amos chapter 8. Ever go for a period of time in your life where things just maybe get a little dry? Say, what do you mean? I remember times reading through the law and in tears over God's holiness. I also remember reading through Galatians and Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians and just not making application. Where it just got dry. In Amos chapter 8 and verse 11, there's a warning. It says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land." The word famine, what does that mean? It means a scarcity of food, a general want of provisions sufficient for the inhabitants of the country. So famine is the lack of necessary nourishment. But what does it say here? This isn't just a famine of bread, not a famine of bread, nor of thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Ever talk to God and feel like either He's not hearing you or He's just not answering? Has there ever been not just a moment or a day, but a season? Famines aren't just a minute. Hey, it hasn't rained in an hour. That doesn't mean we're in a famine. But if you go a consistently long time without food, without water, without able to provide for yourself, without getting the necessary nourishment, that's when a famine takes place. Ever go through a season like that? Say, does that happen? Or is it okay to admit? Not just physical food, like the first definition, but how about of spiritual sustenance? where there is no hunger for righteousness, that where there is no growth even in the milk, where there is no growth or discernment through the meat, where you're not getting fed through the knowledge and understanding from preaching. Come in, come out, same way. Feel like it's just Charlie Brown's teacher. Wah, 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 wah. I'm not hearing anything. That it is no longer the living bread of God. Is the problem with the message or is it with me? Have you ever gotten to the place where there's a famine in your land? What if there's a spiritual famine in your land? What does that mean? No feeding, no filling, no sustaining, only wanting and hungry. What I see, there's two options when the famine hits your land. We'll look at the wrong way and then we'll finish with the right way. Genesis chapter 12. Brother Serino last week went to 8:30. I'm just saying. We will not go to 8:30. But there is no school tomorrow. Well, for us. Anybody hear of a man in the Bible named Abraham? Abraham? The Bible says that he is a friend of God. Not too many people have that title. Like nobody. So where does it say that James, the book of James, it calls him his friend? Abram. This is Abram who, where God says, no prior communication between God and Abraham. And God comes by and he says unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and thy kindred. And he just sends him to a land where he'll tell him when he gets there. That's that Abraham. A man that has already gone on a great journey of faith. Well, now he's where God wants him to be. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 10, and there was a famine in the land. Ever be right where God wants you to be, and then a famine hits? Not just a moment of quietness, but a season. And unfortunately, many of us respond is how Abraham did. And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass when he was come near and to enter into Egypt that he said unto Sarai, his wife, behold, now I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass when the Egyptians shall see thee that they shall say, this is his wife, and they will kill me. But they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, that thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and for my soul shall live because of thee. And it came to pass that when Abram was come into Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was very fair, just as he had said. And what does she say? Oh no, that's not my husband, that's my brother. She's my sister. So they let Abraham live. See, Abraham was dwelling in a land where there was a famine. So what did he do? He went around to see what the other offers were. See, a lot of times there might come a season of famine in your life. Can I tell you, the best thing is not to run to Egypt. It's not a good idea to see what the world has to offer when the Word of God gets a little quiet. When you feel like you're talking to God and your prayers aren't going anywhere and it's been a while and it's just dry and you're sitting in church right where you ought to be and you're not hearing anything and you're reading and you're not growing and there's a famine, not of food and of water, but of the Word of God. It's not a good idea to neglect it and go to the world. Well, God can't provide for me. Might as well go provide for myself. Do you understand that the thing that you're looking to provide for can only be supplied by God? Look at what they had to do. They had to hide who they were. Sure, you can step out into the world, but you're going to have to change. You can't go out carrying your Bible. No, they'll eat you up. They'll devour you. You're going to have to lie. You're going to have to mask who it is that lives inside of you. You will never find what your soul is craving in the world. You will only find problems and troubles. Say, how'd it go for Abraham? Oh, it went great. Sarah, she lived. He lived. He got some stuff and got out. See? Look at that. It worked good for Abraham. Until we jump over to chapter 16. Chapter 16 and verse 1. Now Sarah, Abraham's wife, bare him no children. And she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. Where did he get her from? Probably when he went out into the world for a little while. See, we feel like we don't pick up anything. Oh, I'm gonna go see what the world has to offer. A little dry over at the church house lately. Been reading, just haven't been getting much. I want to see what the world has to offer. You understand that you will come away with baggage. You'll come away with troubles. You'll come away with scars. You'll come away with problems. Is God able to forgive those problems? Yes, but Ishmael was always there. Ishmael never went away. And he was always a problem. And still is. Did God forgive Abraham? Oh, yes. Do you know Isaac does the same thing? This is only affecting... No, it's not. Hey, when famine comes and hits your land, don't go checking around for other offers. Say, what am I supposed to do then? I'm starving. Psalm 33. Quickly. Psalm 33. Look at verse 12. No, 13. Psalm 33, 13. The Lord looketh from heaven and beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation he looketh upon the inhabitants of the earth. Know what that means? God sees you. He knows you. And it says this, he fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. Look, there is no king save by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. An horse is vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. God, I'm dying here. I see it. I'll sustain you. I just need you to, verse 20, our soul waiteth for the Lord. Oh, if Abraham would have just waited. But he took things into his own hands, tried to fix his problems, tried to go get nourishment to a place that couldn't offer it. And so many times when we hit that famine, we're going to go looking around. I have needs that need to be met. And God says, no, just wait upon me because I am your help and your shield. In verse 20. Verse 21, for our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. You know what Abraham didn't do for a moment? Trust God. So I'm going to go to the world. Hey, can I help you? Relief is coming. Wait it out. Keep surrounding yourself with him. Trust him. Have faith. Stay in it. Keep planting seeds. There's no water. It's going to hit. It's going to hit. Don't quit. Psalm 37 and verse 18. Two verses. Psalm 37 and 18. For the arms of the wicked shall be broken. Psalm 37, 18. but the Lord upholdeth the righteous. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. God sees it. God sees it, and He can help you right where you're at. Quickly, last verse, Acts chapter 11. I just want to let you know relief is coming. Say, it's dry. I'm starving. Yes, I understand, but God's sitting upon His throne, and He sees you right where you're at, and He can meet your needs. Just don't move. Acts chapter 11 and verse 27. And in these days came the prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth, that's a famine, throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Cindy Johnson. What is she doing? She's in a famine. It's dry in her house. So she lives in Brockport. It's been raining for... It's dry in her soul. So what do? We send relief. Send a card. Send help. Help where you can. Keep going. Keep preaching. Don't quit. I don't know why famines hit. To know that would to say that I know the mind and the ways of God. I see when Elijah preached that it didn't rain for 3 years, and that was God's plan, and he got glory from it. And we're still taking comfort from that story some thousands of years later. When famine hits your land, don't revert back to the world to see what they have to offer. Stick it out, wait just a little while. Just a little while. The Lord sees it. Wouldn't it be a shame if Abraham left and all of a sudden, while he was gone, Melchizedek shows up with some stuff? Say, did that happen? I don't know. He quit. He left. Wouldn't it be a shame if you forsook the faith to go see what the world had to offer? And while you were gone, there was a knock at the door with relief. Either by the hand of God Himself or by somebody trying to be an encouragement, it was just what you needed. Hey, you might find yourself in a season of famine. Don't go check other offers. Relief is coming. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for how you meet our needs. Lord, forgive us for not trusting. Forgive us for not faith. Forgive us for looking around to see what else is out there. Lord, help us to stick. Help us to stick by it. Lord, I pray that you'd send relief. I pray for Mrs. Rice tonight. I pray for Mrs. Johnson tonight. I pray that you'd make your presence felt and known in those situations. I pray that they would get nourishment for their soul and that they would grow through these things. Lord, if we have an opportunity to be a relief to that, that God, you'd make it known to us and show us. Lord, I thank you for your word. Lord, may we always have a desire and a want for it. Lord, I pray you meet our needs. Not our wants, our needs. Lord, we love you tonight, and I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a good night.